If you would, turn to Genesis 37. Genesis chapter 37. A very familiar passage. A very familiar person. I'm sure everybody's read the story of Joseph and you know all about it, all the ins and the outs. I'm just here to remind you today of some things about that. Genesis 37. Beginning at verse 1. I'm going to have some readers. Brother Ernest, if you would, read from verse 1 to verse 11. And did I see your hand up, Trey? Okay. I want you to read from verse 14 to verse 18. Verse 14 to verse 18.
1 through 11?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
I guess I did.
He got a big mouth, but I'm not saying he's got a big mouth.
No,
I'm saying
he needs to. Genesis 37, 1. First off, I should say good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
Jacob lived in the land of his fathers, sojournings in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind.
Amen.
Trey.
Now his brothers went to the pastor there. Father's flock near Shechem.
Mm-hmm.
And Israel said to Joseph, "Are you not to your brothers pasturing the flock of Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." And he said to him, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring me word." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to Shechem.
Mm-hmm.
And a man found him wandering in the fields. And the man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing in the flock." And the man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'"
Mm-hmm.
So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at
Dothan.
Mm-hmm.
Keep reading.
Verse 18.
They saw him from
afar,
and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him.
Mm. Sister Carol, if you would, read from 19 on down to 28, please.
They said to one another, here comes this dreamer.
Mm.
Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams.
Mm.
But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, let us not take his life. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood. Cast him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and cast him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh. And his brothers listened to him. Then Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt.
For a title for some brief words, the hand of God. The hand of God. The hand of God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The Lord promised Cana to Abraham. But honestly, he never really got to possess the land. He was just a sojourner in the land. Now, he had a son by the name of, well, he had two sons, actually. Abraham did, Ishmael and Isaac. But the only one that was actually had for the blessing was Isaac. So you have Abraham, Isaac, and you have Jacob. And they're sojourning in the land that the Lord says, I'm going to give to you. But they never really possessed the land. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. I want you to do your finger aerobics. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, beginning at verse 13, going to verse 16. Sister McCullough shouldn't have looked at me because I'm going to call on her. Amen.
Verse 13.
13 to 16.
Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offsprings will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs.
Whoa, whoa. God told Abraham in advance what was going to happen. In advance. Nobody does that but God. And he's our God. I want you all to keep that in mind. Go ahead, sister. Sorry.
And will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment upon the nation that they serve, and afterwards they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation
iniquities
of the Amorites is not yet complete.
Wow. That's heavy stuff. Thank you. That's heavy stuff. God says in advance, this is what's going on with your offspring. I'm going to tell you. You all are going to sojourn in the land which we're reading about today. Not only are you going to sojourn in the land, but you're going somewhere else after you sojourn in the land. Not only are you going somewhere else after you sojourn, but I'm going to bring you back out of the land. Not only am I going to bring you out of the land, but you're going to have great riches when you come back out of the land. He told them from the front to the back what was going to happen with his offspring. Now, if this is your God, he got you covered. If he have Abraham's offspring from the front to the back and he gave him the word, he got you covered too. But let me tell you something. The way we get to where we should be is not always the best way in our eyesight. Are you listening to me? Those things that we have to endure and those things that we have to persevere under don't quite seem to be the way that we would go to get to the place we need to go. But with God, these things don't work the way we think they ought to work, John. We think we ought to have an easy road to go, Sister Brenda. We shouldn't have no sickness. We shouldn't have no financial reversal. We shouldn't have no problems on the job. We shouldn't have no problems at home, really. If God is your God, whatever situation you're in, you ought to be content. And like I told you before, your worship should be consistent no matter where you're at. No matter what situation he's got you in. God starts the journey. Whew. I'm preaching to myself this morning, y'all. Hang with me. Now, Joseph was a shepherd boy, just like the guy we read about last week, David. And he was the son of Rachel, Jacob's honey pie, his girl. He actually labored all those years, and then somebody got tricked, and he had to labor some more and get another wife, Rachel, right? The trickster himself got tricked, sister. So the one he really wanted was the one he had to work another 7 years to get. And that was Rachel. So Joseph was Rachel's son, so he had a special affection for this guy because he come from his honey pie. You know what? If we're like God, we love everybody the same. Y'all listening to me? There are no favorites. Everybody gets the same love. God loves you just like he loves me. And there's nobody in here who God loves more than he loves me. We ought to be careful about favoritism because it breeds some very nasty things. Very nasty things. Joseph, his brothers. The Bible mentions these two ladies, Bilhah and Zilpah. They were maidservants of the two wives, and they bore children to Jacob also. So you have children from four different mothers. You asking for some issues. You asking for some issues. You know, one thing about the Bible, it does not cover up nobody's mess. It uncovers everybody's stuff. And what it really shows you when it does that is that no matter how messed up we are, we still belong to God. Joseph was a tattletale, like we previously talked about. His brothers were a handful. He went back and gave a bad report to his father about them because they were not doing right. The robe of many colors. What's going on there? Reuben was the oldest of the children, and he deserved the birthright. Reuben did something with Bilhah that he shouldn't have been doing with Bilhah, and he lost his birthright. The birthright is when the person that has the birthright gets what? Two times what everybody else gets? Because he messed up, he lost his birthright. And that birthright went to Joseph. The coat of many colors kind of showed you rank, and it kind of showed you who had the birthright. So not only did Joseph, was he a tattletale, but he kind of had position. Listen, to me, if I could see somebody was on my track and after me, I wouldn't stir up so much stuff, sister, at all. If I had a dream, I'd be telling somebody in the corner, I had this dream. These boys don't like me. I can't tell it to everybody. I'm just going to tell it to you. But Joseph didn't do that. He told everything there was to tell in a dream. I'm going to step my foot on it here. Listen, they were in a field gathering wheat. And when you gather wheat, they're in sheaves, and you tie the sheaves up and you stack them up. And he said, in this dream, what you harvested and stacked up, it fell down to what I harvest and stacked up. The brothers knew exactly what he was talking about because they said, are we going to bow down to you? Number one, you got this coat on to begin with. You're a tattletale. Number two, you don't mind telling nothing to nobody. And we going to bow down to you? You're not humble enough for me to bow down to you. But listen, whatever circumstance goes around, God is in the midst of it. He's starting a motion to take Joseph somewhere. Listen to me. Whatever situation you have, God has got you going in a specific direction for a specific reason. I don't care how messed up, let me say it like this. I don't care how jacked up it is. He got you going somewhere for a specific reason. That's why we better be content in whatsoever situation we're in. Amen. Because the hand of God has me where he needs me to be. My husband ain't doing right. My household ain't doing right. My job ain't doing right. The book of James says, if you have an issue and you need to have wisdom, ask for it. And the one who gives wisdom will give it to you, and he won't say to you, what you asking me again for? I'm saying that to her, but I wouldn't talk to her really like that. What you asking me? Don't you know that? He won't do that. He'll just give you wisdom because that's who he is. He has another dream. This time. This boy, come on, Ernest. He has another dream, but there's another variation in this dream. In this dream, not only are the other boys bowing, but the moon and the stars are bowing also. And then Jacob pop up and say, I'm going to talk to Tina like this. I wouldn't do her like this because I'd be jacked up. Now, am I to bow down, and my wife is to bow down to you, and your brothers to bow down to you too? Yes. God is prophetically showing them what's going to happen. Amen. Did you hear me? Uh-huh. Prophetically showing them what's happening. And if he told them in Genesis 15 what was going to happen from the front to the back, he gives them another view. And listen, there's another principle. The one who can bless you is not necessarily the one that you like. Amen. The one who has your blessing is not the one that you pick to be the one to have your blessing. Let Brother Ernest have mine because he's nice and mature. Not old, but mature. Mature. Now, I'd prefer for him to have it. But what, Jordan, come here. Oh, no, man, it's the second week in a row I had you up here. Shame. But if out of the mouths of babes and sucklings God perfects praise and it comes through Jordan, you can't give me nothing, son. You don't know nothing. Really? Thanks. I'm sorry. I won't call you no more. You better watch who you dissing. The one that has your blessing is not necessarily the one that you like or the one that you would prefer. God's got his own messenger. And listen, after these series of dreams, the Bible says Jacob rebuked him, but he remembered what he said. Who you think you are? But I'm going to remember. Jacob's not an egghead. He will remember. And then his father sends him to go check on his brothers and bring me back a report. That's the same thing Jesse did for David last week. Go check on your brothers at the battle line and bring me a report back. Now, if I was in my right mind and I knew my son was at odds with his other brothers, in my natural mind, I don't think I would have sent him. And if he was really my boy and I really loved him, I probably wouldn't have sent him. But God is in the midst of moving people in a certain direction. Are you listening to me? He sent them. They're supposed to be at Shechem. They're not at Shechem. He's there wandering around, and somebody asked him, what's going on? Where are my brothers at? They're supposed to be at Shechem. They said they're going down to Dothan. He goes down to Dothan, you all, and while he was yet a long way off, they look at him, here this dreamer come. Here's some more mess going to be started now. Because I'm sure they wasn't doing what they were supposed to be doing because what they did after they saw him. Let's fix him. I'm going to straighten this problem out. As he gets close to us, we're going to kill him. That's what we're going to do. Now, this is your blood brother. And you talking about killing him. That's what sin does for you. Here comes this dreamer. If you notice, what is the first thing they take from Joseph? They snatch that coat right off of him. Snatcher? You ain't got no rank here no more. Now, let's kill him and see where now your dream lie now. Are you listening to me? But it's amazing about the power of God. When he got you going somewhere, it don't make no difference what anybody else got planned for you. You ain't got no rank. You know what? Interesting. Who steps up and talks for Joseph? The one whose birthright that he has. You all listening. The one who does not have his birthright because it's been given to Joseph now steps up and talks to him. Let's don't kill him. Let's toss him in a pit. Boom. So, they toss him in a pit. Can you imagine if he's your brother and you toss him in a pit? I saw a movie on Joseph and they slung him in a pit and he was going, help me, brothers, help me, help me. The Bible says they were sat down to eat. And the only time you can eat is when your mind is unloaded. Are you listening to me? And your brother's crying in the background and you sitting down to have dinner. Yes, it is. There's another parallel. the Ishmaelites, well, the Midianites were mentioned. And then the Ishmaelites, who are descendants of Ishmael, Abraham's other son by Hagar, the Egyptian. If we're not going to kill them, how are we going to profit from this thing? If we're not going to kill Joseph, he's down in the pit. We ain't going to make no money like that. Interesting. They sell him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. There was another sale, you all. I'm almost finished. There was another sale. But it resides in the New Testament. That sale was, you got 12 disciples. Jesus said one of them was a demon from the beginning. He goes, sells out the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for 30 pieces of silver. Now listen, that was God's plan too. It's not the way I would have done it, but the way God did it, the same way he got Joseph where he needed to be to save a lot of life, is the same way he got Jesus on Calvary to save you and I. But that was the plan of God. So I want you to look at your life today. Even if it's messed up, I don't care how it looks. But the plan of God says it's going to turn out all right. You got one of your boys selling you out for 30 pieces of silver. And God the Father's already set that up before time was. And he got you covered. He got y'all covered. If your head is bowed down now, you lift it up. Because the same God who did this is the same God who's your God. I'm going to do this one more time. Come on, Jordan, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All right, right there. I am a giant. This is you. Now, whose report are you going to believe? The report that you can overcome me or that I can overcome you? Whose report you going to believe today, Trinity? Thanks, Brother Go. Oh, my knee. The hand of God. The hand of God. You know what? When you know that his hand is on your life, fear does not control you no more. My situations that used to spook me don't spook me no more. Because God's hand is controlling my life. Why are you taking me through the desert, Lord? Listen, he took the children of Israel round about after they had rebelled and did not want to go into the land. He took them around about for 40 years, and their clothes never wore out. Jesus was the end result, and because he obeyed the will of the Father, all the way to the cross, you have life today. Amen. So let me ask you a question. Are you ready to fight today? Bloom, bloom. Are you ready to fight today? You have the power to fight. Before, you were a slave to your passions, but now you're able to deny and say, I'm an instrument of righteousness now. the hand of God. If you remember it, you'll be victorious this week. You'll be victorious when you go home. You'll be victorious when you go to your job today. You know, I got some real bad service at a restaurant one time. And I say, Audrey, how much should I give? She said, don't ask me. Well, she didn't say it a rough way like that. Yes, she did. Okay. Don't ask me. And I'm saying, I shouldn't give them nothing. This is terrible. Okay. I'm going to grace you the way God graces me. Put your fighting gloves on. You know what? Anytime you hear a message, if you're smart, you'll realize that as soon as you go out the door, you're going to have to fight. Uh-huh. And I'll tell you the truth. Sometimes I hate to preach because sometimes I have to live this whole thing. Bloop! Bloop! Ouch! 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 Okay. I won't hold y'all no longer. You've been very patient. The hand of God. Brother Phil, you ready? God done pushed the stop button. Amen.